From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Dr. Cairns is bringing a series of studies in the book of Judges. Today, he returns to Ehud, the second judge. As a fearless warrior, Ehud slew Eglon, the king of Moab, and delivered Israel from a harsh reign of tyranny. Following his successful execution of the king, Ehud blew a trumpet, calling the people of Israel to the enjoyment of his victory. From this account, Dr. Cairns will draw a parallel to the victory Christ's people have in their Savior. As a type of Christ, Ehud summoned the people to leave all and follow him. Here we have a message of freedom and of fellowship, freedom from the bondage of sin, and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. In a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will introduce a message entitled, The Train of Christ's Triumph. First, please listen to this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Sufferers Make Strong Believers. The text is from Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 27. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. This is as good as a promise. It has been good, it is good, and it will be good for me to bear the yoke. Early in life, I had to feel the weight of conviction, and ever since it has proved a soul-enriching burden. Should I have loved the gospel so well, had I not learned by deep experience the need of salvation by grace? Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, because his mother bare him with sorrow. And those who suffer much in being born unto God make strong believers in sovereign grace. The yoke of censure is an irksome one, but it prepares a man for future honor. He is not fit to be a leader who has not run the gauntlet of contempt. Praise intoxicates if it be not preceded by abuse. Men who rise to eminence without a struggle usually fall into dishonor. The yoke of affliction, disappointment, and excessive labor is by no means to be sought for. But when the Lord lays it on us in our youth, it frequently develops a character which glorifies God and blesses the church. Come, my soul, bow thy neck, take up thy cross. It was good for thee when young, it will not harm thee now. For Jesus' sake, shoulder it cheerfully.
Lord, as I seek your guidance for the day, I find my thoughts unyielding, confusion crowds my way. But then when I bow to you, the challenges you guide me through, your promises are ever new, I claim them for today. I still will find you there. Each new day tasty's time is charted by your hand and graciously revealed as I seek your master plan. Keep my footsteps faithful when from you I go. Return me to the joy that your blessings can bestow.
From time to time here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions, such as, why did Christ have to be born a man? Why does God allow suffering? What is the unpardonable sin? And what's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such questions. All of these video clips have been available on the ltbsradio.com website. But we're also pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 20th century Christian. You may have a copy of the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. You may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Or you may simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
We're turning again this evening to the book of Judges and the third chapter. A couple of weeks ago, I came here to preach on a certain text or idea in Scripture, and 5 minutes before I was due to start, I had the overwhelming impression in my heart that I ought to preach on Othniel, the first of the judges. Over the years, I have studied Othniel and made notes in the side of an old Bible about Othniel and all the rest of it, but I had to be cast out in the Lord that night and depend on him to give some direction to any thoughts that would be there. I felt last week we should proceed a little further and come to the second of the judges, Ehud, and I want us to return to the story of that man in the third chapter of Judges. We may get through all the judges, we may not. I'm not tied into any preconceived notion. If the Lord gives peace of heart about it, we'll do it. If he doesn't, then I believe the preacher's job is to be in the place of waiting on the Lord and being open to the leading of the Lord as to what he would have preached on any given time. So we're turning this evening to Judges chapter 3. We're going to read from verse 26 to the end of verse 30. Judges 3:26. And Ehud escaped while they tarried, and passed beyond the quarries, and escaped unto Seirath. And it came to pass, when he was come, that he blew a trumpet in the mount of Ephraim, and the children of Israel went down with him from the mount, and he before them. And he said unto them, Follow after me, for the Lord hath delivered your enemies, the Moabites, into your hand. And they went down after him, and took the fords of Jordan toward Moab, and suffered not a man to pass over. And they slew of Moab at that time about 10,000 men, all lusty, and all men of valor, and there escaped not a man. So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest 80 years. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to this reading of his own precious word for his name's sake. Last Lord's Day evening, we considered Ehud as an example for every Christian to follow in the matter of spiritual warfare. The earlier part of this chapter gives us a picture of this man as the man with the two-edged sword. And he stands forth as a very clear spiritual example to all of us as to how we ought to wield that sword of the Spirit, that word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword. But the story of Ehud goes on from his killing of Eglon, the king of Moab, with the two-edged sword, and it provides us with some fascinating insights into even greater spiritual truths. Following his killing of Moab's king, Ehud went to Mount Ephraim. And on Mount Ephraim he blew the trumpet of the Lord to call the children of Israel out after him to battle with him against all the Moabitish forces. The people responded to that trumpet blast. We have read tonight how he led them to total victory over the armies of Moab. Verse 30 says, So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest 80 years. There is a vital truth, I think, for us in these verses. Let me put it very simply. Ehud gained a victory alone without any aid from anyone on earth. Alone, he gained the victory. Then he blew the trumpet and he led his people into the enjoyment of that victory, to pursue the forces of the enemy and to defeat them. I think in this, he is a very simple yet beautiful type of the Lord Jesus Christ, who all by himself, in virtue of his own person, work, merit, and power, defeated the enemy, and who has put to his lips the silver trumpet of the gospel, and has through that called his people into fellowship with him in his victory, and on the basis of that victory to go with him on a mighty campaign to overcome the powers and the furies of the enemy. So tonight I want us to consider this little passage about Ehud, and I want to think of this as giving us a wide-ranging picture of the train of Christ's triumph. I believe it is spoken of Christ, though certain expositors in the book of the Revelation come up with differing notions. I don't really know how anybody in his right senses could come to any other idea of Revelation 6. It was said of Christ that he went forth conquering and to conquer. And the Lord Jesus leads his people with him in that mighty train of triumph. As we look at this passage, we note first and foremost that Ehud's triumph over Eglon was followed by the blowing of a trumpet that called his people out to leave all to follow him. Think of that in this passage. Ehud had gone in. He had triumphed personally. Now he comes out into the public and he puts this trumpet to his lips and he calls out a people to leave all and to follow him. What a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. That trumpet that Ehud put to his lips in many, many ways is a representation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who, having triumphed at Calvary, now sounds forth this message that calls out a people to leave all and follow the Savior. As in the case of Ehud, the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is first a message of freedom. It is a mighty announcement of a victory won over the powers of darkness and of hell. It is the message of the mighty bondage of sin broken by the power of Christ. It is the word that one stronger than the strong man has entered in and has despoiled him of his goods. It is a word for sinners who are living in the bondage of Satan, who are living under the thraldom of sin. A message that Christ has defeated the devil at Calvary, and there is for guilty sinners a glorious freedom, a justification from guilt, a pardon from sin, a reconciliation with God, a freedom and a redemption from all that would bring them down to everlasting night. It is first and foremost the message of freedom. And then, of course, it was a message concerning fellowship. Ehud's trumpet blast not only announced what he had done, but it called a people to leave their sheepfolds, to leave their earthly occupations, to leave their fears and their worries about Moab and all the forces that Moab could put in the field against them, to leave all and come out in open fellowship with this mighty conqueror. This trumpet blast was an announcement of freedom, but it was a freedom that could only be enjoyed in fellowship with the conqueror. That, my friend, is the very heart of the gospel. The gospel does not announce a theology merely, though there is a world of theology in it. The gospel does not give a theory. The gospel is a living message of a living Christ with a real, vital victory. But its message is, you can only enter into that triumph by a coming forth unto Christ, by an obedience to the trumpet sound of the gospel, and by personal fellowship with the conqueror. Christ's victory, and I say this very reverently, as far as eternal worth is concerned, Christ's victory will profit none, save of those who are brought into fellowship with him. In fact, I would say that the gospel and the knowledge of the gospel and the knowledge of the mighty action of the Lord Jesus at Calvary can only make hell all the worse for the man who knew those things and yet went on rejecting God's dear Son and perished forever. We read concerning Capernaum, Chorazin, and Bethsaida that they saw most of Christ's mighty works. They were knowledgeable about the Lord Jesus, but they went on in their sin. Concerning Capernaum, Jesus said, "Thou art exalted to heaven." I think you know that speaks of many who sit in churches like this. Let me be very pointed. Some of you are here tonight, born into a Christian home. Since ever you can remember, you've been surrounded by the influence of the gospel. You've been brought to the Word of God. You've been brought to the preaching of the Word of God. You've been put in places where you'll be taught the Word of God. You've been surrounded by influences of godliness and kindliness along with it. You've been brought to the very gates of heaven. Capernaum was there before you. Jesus said, "Thou art exalted to heaven, thou shalt be brought down to hell." He said, "It will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for you." What a different view the Lord gives us of things. You sit in your self-righteousness and you look at the great, vile, wicked sinners. You read about the murderers and the drug peddlers and all the rest of it. And you talk about what wicked sinners they are. I wonder, did you ever stop to think that we have people who come to churches like ours and sit week after week under the sound of the gospel, and you're 10 times more rotten at the core than the worst of those murderous drug pushers? And you'll be in a deeper hell by far unless God intervenes in grace. Capernaum, exalted to heaven, brought down to hell. You see, my friend, the message is a message of freedom from sin, freedom from guilt, freedom from hell. But it's a freedom that is only to be enjoyed by fellowship with Christ, by a personal entering in to saving faith in Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.